the bill so that you can find out what is in it.
In terms of the bonus that corporate America received versus the crumbs that they are giving to workers to kind of put the schmooze on, is so pathetic.
We are 5 days away from fundamentally transforming the United States of America.
Good morning and welcome in to the Monday edition of the Daily Perspective. Hi there, Mark Congleton with you, hoping you are having a fantastic Monday so far. For some of you, it's very early. For some of you, not so early. But regardless, I hope you're having a good day. For those of you listening in the future, this program is being recorded on April 1st. It's a Monday, and we do this at 9 o'clock, 8 o'clock Central on Facebook Live. So please join us. You can go to the Mark and Max Show Facebook page and join us there. Also, actually, that's the only place you can link it to Facebook Live because they changed one of the options. I used to be able to share it in more than one place, and I can't find that option now. Apparently, they decided this was a bad idea. But nonetheless, thanks for being there. It's good to have you along. Hopefully, you had a great weekend. Around our place, we had a semi-productive weekend. My sweet wife, Jane, and I, she had to work Saturday, but I did not. So I took my life in my own hands and did some DIY work around the house which involved crawling around in the insulation in the attic, climbing ladders and things like that, which, you know what? A few years ago, I would have said, that's nothing. Where do I go? Just point me in the right direction. And now, whoo, my goodness. And it's probably, and I know it, this is why. It's because this guy has become rather sedentary in the last few years because of, you know, the arthritis in the knees and all that stuff. So now that my chief source of pain is not there anymore. I tend to get out there and get froggy and jump on things. And later on, I think, what was I thinking? So I'm actually doing what I can I'm doing what I can to get back in shape again. It's a slow road. Anyway, won't burden you with that. So here we have a day ahead of us with some really bizarre things to talk about. Eric Holder, former Attorney General under Barack Hussein Obama, has asked the question, exactly when did you think America was great? We have an answer to that. Judge Jeanine Pirro, who was sat facing the corner by Fox News, for saying something which was truthful and accurate, is back out of her corner again, and she went scorched earth on her first show back. We'll take a look at that. The TV networks rejected ads for Unplanned, the anti-abortion movie, and it succeeded in spite of it. In fact, it doubled its estimated gross. I don't want to give you the wrong impression. It wasn't a blockbuster weekend by any means, but still, with every media outlet except for conservative media fighting against it, it still succeeded and doubled its expected income. Joe Biden, God love him, Joe Biden. This is where we'll start the day. Former Nevada Democrat State Senator Lucy Flores has made an accusation against former Vice President Creepy Uncle Joe Biden. She says she's making a sexual misconduct accusation, actually. She wrote in a piece about her 2014 encounter that she had with him that it left her mortified. She said she'd never experienced anything so blatantly inappropriate and unnerving before. Now, you know that we, Dave and I on the Mark and Mac Show, we have made much of Creepy Uncle Joe because he tends to be a bit handsy when the ladies are around. There are picture after picture after picture after picture of him with hands on shoulders, hugging, and the ladies trying to get away. Little children, especially little girls, Jeff Sessions at one point moved one of his grandchildren away. Now you come stand over here, honey. And we have talked about it again and again and again. And he's running. He looks like he's running for president. I don't know. I just don't know. Depending on the polling you watch, he's out front. But I don't know. Now, Ms. Flores, Lucy Flores, a former member of Bernie Sanders' political group, Our Revolution, says that the incident happened as she was about to go on for a rally just days before the upcoming elections were held. She writes, "Just before the speeches, we were ushered to the side of the stage where we were lined up by order of introduction. As I was taking deep breaths and preparing myself to make my case to the crowd, I felt two hands on my shoulders. I froze. Why is the Vice President of the United States touching me? I felt him get closer to me from behind. He leaned further in and inhaled my hair. I was mortified. He proceeded to plant a big, slow kiss on the back of my head. My brain couldn't process what was happening. I was embarrassed. I was shocked. I was confused. I wanted nothing more than to get Biden away from me. I had never experienced anything so blatantly inappropriate and unnerving before. He made me feel uneasy, gross, and confused. Imagine you're at work and a male colleague who you have no personal relationship with approaches you from behind, smells your hair, and kisses you on the head. Now imagine it's the CEO of the company. If Biden and I had worked together in a traditional office, I would have complained to the HR department. But on the campaign trail, there's no clear path for what to do when a powerful man crosses the line." Flores says that one of the factors that led her to speaking out about what happened was that she saw numerous reports about Biden's creepy behavior toward women and children. And like I said, there are a lot of instances. In this article on the Daily Wire, there are three videos of this behavior. And if you get the show notes today, if you subscribe to the daily update, the daily newsletter, you'll get the show notes. And in this particular link will be links to those videos. In November 2017, a month after the Me Too movement was launched, the Daily Wire reported on Biden's disturbing behavior, which included allegations that he made female Secret Service agents uncomfortable because he would get naked in front of them. I apologize if you're eating breakfast, but this is a story we've talked about before. Creepy Uncle Joe likes to swim in his pool in the nude. Agents say that whether the vice president's residence or at his home in Delaware, he has a habit of swimming in his pool naked. I might say naked. We discussed this the other day, the definitions. The First Family Detail alleges this. Female Secret Service agents find that offensive. The allegation against Biden comes as he's reportedly expected to announce that he's running for president in 2020. Quinnipiac University has him out in front. 29% of Democrats and Democrat-leaning voters say they'd vote for him in 2020 in the primary if he runs. That's what CNN reports. Biden's contemplating a campaign for the White House. There's speculation he's close to entering the field. He's followed by Bernie Sanders with 19%. Beto O'Rourke, another massive fraud this man is, with 12%. Kamala Harris, she's someone else who learned at the feet of the advanced radical progressive movement and people like Bernie Sanders. She has 8%, according to the Quinnipiac poll. These people are all running. And this guy in the Quinnipiac poll is out front. And we have talked about his creepy behavior for quite some time. Well, he's responded. A spokesperson for former Vice President Joe Biden responded to sexual harassment allegations made against him last Friday by former Nevada Democrat State Senator Lucy Flores, claiming that he acted blatantly inappropriate toward her at a 2014 political rally. Biden's spokesperson, Bill Russo, I have to say this, that the article says spokesman, how dare they assume his gender. Biden spokesman Bill Russo responded to the allegations in a statement which says, Vice President Biden was pleased to support Lucy Flores' candidacy for lieutenant governor in Nevada in 2014 and to speak on her behalf at a well-attended public event. Neither then nor in the years since did he or the staff with him at that time have an inkling that Ms. Flores had been at any time uncomfortable, nor do they recall what she describes. But Vice President Biden believes that Ms. Flores has every right to share her own recollection and reflections, and that it is a change for better in our society that she has the opportunity to do so. He respects Ms. Flores as a strong and independent voice in our politics and wishes her only the best. Wow. Is it just me? Or did that come across as, hey, I'm all for the Me Too movement. You gals are doing a great job. Is that not how that comes across to you? It's simultaneously supportive of the Me Too movement and condescending at the same time. Only a politician like Joe Biden could pull something like that off. Hey, Joe. It's not working, buddy. People think you're creepy. People think you're slimy. They're you make them nervous. And what kills me is they feel this way and you're out front. You're leading. You're leading in the polls and you're out front. Leading in the polls and you're this creepy weirdo. And let me just say this. The more we learn about leftist politicians, the more disgusting we get. It all becomes. The more disgusted we become. Because on the inside of the Washington Beltway, the behavior of the people that are supposedly representing us at the national level is just disgusting and revolting. There are stories, if you do a little digging, you'll find stories about people, Democrats, who are almost worshipped by the party, whose behavior was like something out of a twisted Hollywood porno film. They were into things and doing things with people against their will, and things covered up, that average, decent Americans would be so incensed about if they actually found out. And you can find out these things if you do just a little bit of digging. We're dealing with a group of people here who honestly feel like they are justified in behaving any way they see fit. Because, I'm going to say it again, they honestly believe that they are intellectually superior and in their own twisted way, morally superior to you and I. And I know you're thinking, well, how can they think they're morally superior if they're behaving like this? Because their sense of morality is based in something entirely different than yours. They know better. They understand more. They are gifted. They are a higher form of being than you or I. And you and I can't possibly understand the intricacies of what they deal with on a daily basis. We can't understand the inner workings of government. It takes gifted, special people to do this job. That's what they want you to believe. And that is one reason for their deep hatred of Donald Trump. Because he has proven that a successful businessman can run for the office of President of the United States. And the contrast, the sharp contrast between a successful businessman and all of these slimy politicians was sharp enough that it convinced people to step away from the political machine and vote for a man who didn't represent the status quo. And that is one reason they hate him so much. And that's how we kick off our Monday. More to come as the Daily Perspective. I got distracted. As the Daily Perspective continues. See you after the break. Where's my coffee? Thank you so much for listening to the Daily Perspective. Good to have you along. Have you subscribed to the Daily Perspective daily newsletter yet? Is that redundant? Well, you need to, because what it contains is the links to the articles I reference when I'm doing this show every day. I give you all of the, like what we just talked about, the two stories from the Daily Wire about Joe Biden. They're both in there. Everything else. Plus, I'll also include the rest of the list because I don't get to everything that I put in my stack because it's just an hour and there's just not enough time. I over-prepare. So you get the benefit by getting the stuff I don't get to. For example, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez doesn't know her constitution. That's one of the stories I'm probably not going to get to today. That'll be in your stack if you subscribe to the Daily Perspective newsletter. Do so by going to markandmacshow.com or my website, markcongleton.com, and get signed up. The form is right there. And it's really easy. I don't ask you for a lot of information. I just need your name and your email address, and you'll get a little confirmation email. It's a double opt-in process. We're not going to send you a lot of crap you don't want, just the Daily Perspective newsletter, which contains the links, and occasionally some random thoughts which may occur, which just get jotted down and shared. So get signed up today, become part of the club. And who knows, we may set up some things up here in the near future where you can benefit from it in some way, shape, or form. All right? All right. Now, moving right along, I mentioned something about the TV networks rejecting ads for the Unplanned, the movie by PureFlix. Commercials were rejected by Lifetime, the Hallmark Channel, HGTV, several other cable networks, but Fox News ran them. Actually, there was even a Christian radio network that refused the radio ads for the movie because the movie is rated R. The movie got the R rating, not because there's anything in the movie other than there is some very tense moments, and it gets a little bloody. But it's truthful. Now, Christian radio was behind The Passion of the Christ, which got an R rating because of it, because of the gore of the crucifixion. But for some reason, until a lot of people rose up and said, hey, you need to stand behind this, there was a Christian radio network that stood up and said, no, it's R rated. We won't take R rated ads. Interesting. Now, if you haven't seen the commercial for Unplanned, it isn't for a lack of trying on the part of the marketers. Their efforts have been consistently rebuffed by the TV networks. PureFlix, the distributor behind the box office hit God's Not Dead and other movies aimed at Christians, opened the movie in 1,000 theaters Thursday night. But outside of the Fox News Channel, pretty much every other mainstream TV outlet has declined to air their ads. Lifetime, for example, told the film's marketers that they declined to air the commercial due to the sensitive nature of the film. I want you to take a moment and pause and think about what Lifetime runs on their channel. The made-for-TV movies that they run on their channel. The topics that they allow on their channel. And they say this film, the nature of it was too sensitive? That's what they told The Hollywood Reporter. The marketers note that their network, owned by A&E, a joint venture of Walt Disney and Hearst Communications, previously promoted an interview with Scarlett Johansson. She pitched Planned Parenthood during that. The Travel Channel, the Cooking Channel, HGTV, the Food Network, each of them owned by Discovery Channels, also refused to sell ad time for Unplanned due to the sensitive nature of the movie. Other networks that refused to advertise the movie include the Hallmark Channel, USA Network, USA, by the way, owned by NBC Universal. John Sullivan, he's a producer of Unplanned, said that we were looking to spend money, but they didn't want to get involved. The Hollywood Reporter, by the way, it's where this is coming from. This article is on the Hollywood Reporter. Reached out to all of the networks. Lifetime declined to comment. The rest just didn't respond. Most of the networks didn't go into detail beyond citing the subject matter of the film and that they didn't want to get into politics. But we don't believe we're in the political category. That's what Joe Knopp, a producer of Unplanned, said. Now, they're not in a political category. This is a life story. It has nothing to do with politics. It has to do with life choices. And it's an honest portrayal of what happened to one person who was the youngest Planned Parenthood administrator in the history of their company. When she realized what was really going on, when she saw with her own eyes, she was a believer. I don't mean in a religious sense. She was all in. She'd had an abortion. She was there for women, as were all the others she worked with. They thought they were doing a good thing for people until she saw something that changed her mind. That's Abby Johnson's story. I've told you several times. Check into her. Follow her on social media. Go read her story. Find out what happened to her. And you'll understand why Planned Parenthood is selling a lie. And they've done such an effective job now for so long without being called out, and I might say so many people standing with them not allowing them to be called out, that the networks just say, no. If this says anything against Planned Parenthood, we won't take the money for the ads. Marketing the movie, Unplanned, has been an uphill battle for a few months since the MPAA saddled the film with an R rating, which the filmmakers say will chase away a key demographic. That's Christians. They're a Christian production company. Their target audience is Christians. I mentioned that a while ago. Indeed, Up TV cited the R rating when it also rejected the commercial, as did several Christian radio channels that also refused to air ads for Unplanned. The rating also put family-friendly PureFlix in the uncomfortable position of having to distribute and market an R-rated movie for the first time. And once again, it was rated R only because it dealt truthfully with a subject that people don't want discussed. Along with Fox News, the Christian Broadcast Network did accept ads, as has conservative talk radio. Glenn Beck, by the way, took a big role, an active role in promoting the movie, including hosting a special screening of the movie in Salt Lake City scheduled for, when was that? Last Friday night. One of the rejected TV commercials features a blurb from Beck that reads, "You've never seen anything like this." I've actually caught him doing a lot of talk. He talked with people involved with the film and the like, and he has been very heavily behind this. Due to the lack of commercial airtime available to the film, marketers have been relying on more innovative techniques. PureFlix debuted the film at the Conservative Political Action Conference back in February. It made a huge impact there, created a huge stir, and spread a lot of word. The guy behind MyPillow, Mike Lindell, the founder, invested $1 million in Unplanned. He's promoting the movie, too. And even though the film fought an uphill battle, it, over the weekend, as of last night, made $6.1 million over the weekend. $6.1 million. That's why I said earlier that it wasn't a blockbuster, debut by any means. Because we're used to hearing, wow, it had a $72 million weekend, something like that. You know, we're used to hearing huge, huge numbers. But that $6.1 million was twice what they thought it was going to do. And hopefully, the word is spreading, and more people will see this film. I've been seeing in social media, Abby Johnson, because I do follow her, she's been posting on social media quotes from people online. There was an article by someone who was pro-choice, who said she's rethinking her position now because of the truthful portrayal, the accurate portrayal, not of the abortion itself, but of the people who believe they were doing good things until, like Abby Johnson, until Abby saw what was really happening. It became real. I've seen others' comments on social media of people who said, I'm rethinking this whole thing. This has given me something I must seriously consider. So it's making an impact. And hopefully enough word of mouth will spread, enough buzz will be created, that it'll spread beyond this first 1,000 theaters, and more people will be exposed and see the truth about what Planned Parenthood and everybody else who's promoting abortion is actually promoting. If you haven't seen it, I encourage you to take a little time, invest a few dollars, a couple hours, watch this film. Take somebody with you. And then encourage other people to go see it as well. Coming up next, Judge Jeanine. She's back, and she's back with a passion as the Daily Perspective continues. Something I missed in the previous segment. I meant to tell you, and I just opened a tab on my browser and found it. It was sitting there waiting for me to pull it up, but I just didn't because I got sidetracked. And that is that on Twitter, Unplanned Movie is their Twitter tag, their Twitter handle. Unplanned Movie. As the film was releasing, they had over 170,000 followers. And then suddenly, their numbers started dropping. They got down to 25,000 at one point. And people were trying to follow Unplanned Movie on Twitter. They would click follow and would see it change in their browser or app from follow to following. And then they would go back and look, and it no longer said following. They were automatically unfollowed from Unplanned Movie. And it happened to thousands and thousands of people. And even Abby Johnson said, she said this, irony, I can't even follow the Twitter account for my own film. It keeps kicking me off. The Unplanned Movie account on Twitter a few hours ago said, who else is watching Twitter like a hawk? Thanks to all of you who noticed Twitter pitching them off our follower list, it looks like we're back to normal and up to almost 200,000. This was about 3 hours ago. More than that now. But more and more, I'm scanning Twitter right now, and I'm seeing tweet after tweet after tweet of people. Hey, what happened? I was following this movie, and now I'm not. But it seems like that's corrected now because they got caught. It's interesting. When the left doesn't like something, they suppress it. When the right doesn't like something, they shine the spotlight on it. When the left disagrees with something, they don't want you to know about it, because they don't want you thinking about it. When the right doesn't like something, they want you to see it so you can see it for what it really is. They want to pull what they disagree with out into the daylight so that it is obvious to all what is really being said, what is really being done, what is really being proposed. That's a stark difference that we all need to pay close attention to. Close attention to. And it's something that Judge Jeanine Pirro is known to do. She is back, and she went scorched earth on day one. She was back at her desk over the weekend, Saturday, 2 weeks after being put in the corner for comments she made against Representative Ilhan Omar. And she didn't tread carefully on her first day back. She called the Russia investigation an attempted coup, and she called for punishment. And her opening statement is something that you and I should listen to. It's almost 6 minutes long. But I think we should hear it.
Scandal in American history, bar none. The attempted coup of the United States government. They conned you, they gamed you, and they lied to you over and over and over for 3 years. They destroyed lives, reputations, and families. And in the end, no one coordinated with Russia. No one. Not Donald Trump, not any Trump, not anyone on the campaign. After 2 years of prosecutors savagely striving to indict the president and everyone in his orbit, years of the mainstream media, the talking heads, the networks, cable and otherwise, the lying, liberal Hollywood hypocrites trying to convince you that he was an illegitimate president. But in the end, nothing. No collusion, no obstruction, nothing. And they didn't care whose lives they destroyed. What mattered was that they destroy the outsider, the one we, the forgotten men and women of America, put in the Oval. The outsider that convinced us that status quo was a choice and that he could do better. They chipped away with unending zeal, desperate for any connection, threatening families and witnesses and individual civil liberties to obtain their corrupt goal of removing the President of the United States. All the while, in spite of it, President Trump worked tirelessly to better our lives, our economy, and the security of this great nation. You know, we constantly hear about voter suppression from the left, but the biggest voter suppression effort ever took place at the highest level of our government as they tried to oust the man they couldn't control. And when you think about a coup, you think of the military. But here, the effort to discredit this president was by law enforcement manipulation, the intelligence community and the law enforcement community, the DOJ and the FBI, and the snake at the head, CIA Director John Brennan. Everything in my book, Liars, Leakers, and Liberals, was validated by the Mueller report. People scoff and laugh at the idea of a deep state, but you've watched it all up close and personal. These swamp scum lie for a living. From clueless Clapper on down. It's the first time in American history people with unbridled power made the determination to overthrow a presidential candidate and then to plant the seeds for indictment and impeachment, to destroy the will of the American people who voted for change in America. This can only happen at this level of government. By the head of the CIA, the head of the FBI, Comey, the head of the Justice Department, Loretta Lynch, only with a wink and a nod from the commander-in-chief. Where did this group get the confidence that this was okay? Who above them could possibly have given the green light? The unverified Steele dossier was the excuse and justification for this rogue intelligence operation. And any time there's a coup, there's both an affirmative and a defensive course of action. Affirmative, destroy Trump. Defensive, endorse Hillary. So where do we go from here? I want to know, who was the judge that signed the first FISA warrant? and the second judge who signed the re-upping of the warrant, and the evidence that backed up the extension of that warrant. Who signed the second extension, and what additional evidence was provided to that judge? And why haven't we heard the FISA court being investigated? Why is there even a FISA court to begin with? I want John Brennan, who tries to get out of this mess he's in by saying, oh, I got bad information. I want him investigated by a grand jury. And McCabe and Strzok and Loretta Lynch and that pious, condescending, holier-than-thou Cardinal Jim Comey. When someone lies to you, do you just say, don't worry about it, I'll get over it? Well, that's not how our system works. There has to be accountability. There has to be a consequence. Because as the president himself said, this should never happen again. And I can guarantee you it will happen again. Unless we make an example of the traitorous, treasonous group that accused Donald Trump of being an agent of the Russian government. And as they spewed their hate, I want to know who did the unmasking, who did the leaking. And if we don't have a consequence, if people at the highest level of government are not held responsible for this, it is a blueprint for a future effort to overthrow the government. Don't be satisfied with the Mueller report. This is bound to happen again because these arrogant, lying, condescending, leaking haters of you and me and the America that doesn't have power are going to do it again unless we stop them. And the only way to stop them is with justice, true justice. And that's behind the bars justice. Mm. And that's my open.
Wow.
Let me know what you think on my Facebook and Twitter.
Yikes. And that is Judge Jeanine Pirro. She came back, planted her feet, and started yelling. And she's absolutely right. She's absolutely right. We need to, when she says that about well, the case is closed, it's time to move on. And she says, no, it's not. She's absolutely right. I've seen others who have said, it is time to put this behind us. We need to work together and move forward. No. No. Absolutely. Absolutely not. It is not time to close the book on the Mueller investigation and move on. Because the FISA court was abused. The Steele dossier was a fraud. There was money that changed hands. The Democrat Party and the Clinton campaign orchestrated a massive fraud. It must be investigated. It must be dealt with. This deep state, underhanded, attempted coup, the attempt to eject a validly elected president of the United States because the Democrats did not win. Oh, but they won the popular vote. There is no popular vote. The United States of America is not one large state. It is 50 states plus Puerto Rico and Washington, D.C. It is not one big state. The president is elected by the states, not the individual voters. And the purpose for that is because the large population areas, the dense population areas like New York and Los Angeles, lean one direction. Los Angeles, basically, outnumbers the vast majority of the rest of the country. If you went to a popular vote, LA would determine who was president every time. That's why there is no popular vote. So we have to dig. We have to find out why these things happened and who was behind them. We have to execute justice on these people, behind bars justice on these people. to keep it from happening again, because if we don't, it will happen again. Judge Jeanine is absolutely right. These people only understand one thing, and that's prison time. Hey, a big thanks to those of you who are joining the Facebook Live edition of The Daily Perspective today. I see you guys out there. Sunday, Vincent, Grace, Victoria, Doris, and Sandra in the UK, Brad. I know Brad's in Northern California. Hey, buddy. Good to see you there, my friend. We need to go to Disneyland, buddy. We really do. I've been jonesing for a Disney trip. Unfortunately, I have to buy food right now. It's a beautiful day in our neighborhood. Thank you all for being here with me today. And for those of you who are listening to the podcast, sometime in the future, please share your time machines with us. Franklin Graham, the son of Billy Graham, the head of Samaritan's Purse, you know Franklin Graham. He posted something on Facebook that got my attention the other day. It was about what Eric Holder said. He said, exactly when did you think America was great? And there's an article which I have linked in our show notes for today. And here's what Franklin Graham said. A few days ago, President Obama's former Attorney General Eric Holder said in an MSNBC interview that he would ask the question, exactly when did you think America was great? Wow, where should we begin? There's a long list. But I would say America was great on the day our nation was born. The day we declared our independence from oppression and tyranny. We were great when we signed our Constitution. A Constitution that ensures freedom to worship God as we feel led. A Constitution that gives every citizen the right to the right to bear arms and much more. Actually, it protects the right to bear arms. America was great when we defended freedom here and around the world by defeating fascism and communism, holding up the beacon of freedom's light for the whole world to see. As the article points out about America, if that nation is not great, then no nation has ever been great. Great doesn't mean perfect, but regardless of who you are, there's no greater country you could be born in. There's no greater country for my children and my grandchildren to be born in. Americans need to thank God for his mercies and blessings and work together to make it better. It's shameful that Mr. Holder doesn't get it. What if we all answer his question for him right here and share it with others? When did you think America was great? He's right. He's absolutely right. And the article, which is on the Daily Signal, goes into much. It's longer than I think I have time for here. But Eric Holder is coming out of the, he comes out of the same mold as Barack Obama. He comes out of the same mold as Hillary Clinton. He comes out of the same mold as Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer. He comes out of that same mold. That radical progressivism that disguises itself as mainstream and normal, like you, except when it's talking to its own crowd. When it's preaching to the choir, people like Eric Holder will say things that reveal who they really are and what they really think. You see, people like Eric Holder, progressives, began rewriting history back in the late 1800s or the beginning of the 1900s, and history books have been getting more and more twisted and perverted since then. So now, today, students in our school systems aren't really being taught American history and what really makes this nation great and has made it great since day one. They're being taught the opinion of progressives about everything that's wrong with America. And yes, there have been some bad times in America. But if you actually study your history, if you do a little digging, you'll find out that the wrongs slavery, the way the Native Americans were dealt with, and other terrible things, the internment of the Japanese during World War II, were all done under Democrat slash progressive type administrations. The Republican Party was established as an anti-slavery party. You wouldn't know that today by listening to the Democrats, because they take credit for everything. Eric Holder and his ilk demonize Republicans and normal conservative people like you and me because we don't see the world through their lens. But their lens is twisted and distorted. And bless his heart, if you're a Southerner, you know what that means. You can say anything about anybody as long as you say, bless his heart. Eric Holder, bless his heart, honestly believes what he's preaching when he preaches to the choir. It's because he's a progressive. And he firmly believes that he is intellectually and morally superior to the little people. It's a very, very sad and disturbing thing. Exactly when did you think America was great? It certainly wasn't when people were enslaved. It certainly wasn't when women didn't have the right to vote. It certainly wasn't when the LGBT community was denied the rights to which it was entitled. Really? Apparently, greatness is entirely dependent on the norms of today. And that is absurd. Into the article, it says, perhaps one of the most profound rebukes to Holder and those who share his view are the words of Frederick Douglass. Douglass had been born a slave in Maryland, having received cruel treatment from several masters. He later escaped. He had more reason than any American today to hate his country and the Founding Fathers. Douglass delivered his famed speech, What to the Slave, is the 4th of July, at a time when slavery not only existed in America but was spreading. Yet in that speech, he said that America and the men who founded it were truly great. Douglass pulled no punches when it came to slavery, which he considered a great hypocrisy in light of the founder's statement that all men are created equal. Yet this great sin did not convince Douglass that America's foundations were hopelessly flawed. Far from it. He said, I'm not wanting in respect for the fathers of this republic. The signers of the Declaration of Independence were brave men. They were great men, too, great enough to give fame to a great age. It does not often happen to a nation to raise at one time such a number of truly great men. He insisted that the founding generation was worth celebrating for all time. He said, with them, nothing was settled that was not right. With them, justice, liberty, and humanity were final, not slavery and oppression. You may well cherish the memory of such men. They were great in their day and generation. America, in the eyes of Douglass, had always been great. To say otherwise was nonsense. Douglass understood the difference between his country's timeless ideals and its failures to live up to them. He only demanded that Americans, if they wished to remain in an exceptional country, uphold the sacred principles that their ancestors had bravely fought for. It's through this kind of patriotic criticism that Douglass convinced many of the need to extinguish the evil of slavery, or the promise of their nation would fade and crumble. Later, when slavery was defeated, Douglass looked back not with contempt, but with gratitude for the country and fellow citizens who made such an achievement possible. He hoped that this sentiment of thankfulness would never die while the Republic lives. This former slave who rose to prominence understood the greatness of America. But your kids aren't taught about him or his views today, because the progressives are programming the school systems. That's why it's important to sit down with your kids and find out what they're learning and teach them the truth. That's it for the Monday edition of the Daily Perspective. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.